Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. Coming live from the SMRP 2018 conference, it is my pleasure to welcome Uwe Forsberg from MidCon. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for joining the show. So you work for MidCon. What do you do at MidCon, and how long have you been involved in maintenance and reliability?
Well, I started my first maintenance experience, actually first year out of high school, summer job on a car ship, actually going in the Persian Gulf to Japan and back in 3 months as an apprentice mechanic. What I do at MidCon, we normally take a look at the total reliability and maintenance picture at a facility or a plant or a mill, and we're trying to assess that. Make recommendations on what they're doing well, maybe things they can improve upon, and then we try to help with the implementation and training. And I usually try to focus on the leadership part because I think that's something that we're pretty weak on or have a strength in.
Excellent.
How do we actually get people on board in doing this?
Yeah, that's the most difficult part. A lot of the other stuff, is the technical stuff, we find easy as engineers and mechanics. And
yeah, we're all engineers, and that's kind of a sometimes to a fault, I think.
Yes, absolutely. They don't teach marketing and sales and engineering. That's definitely something we need to help move people along this change.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to talk about today is how work management improves equipment reliability. So first off, what is work management?
I think it's the way I look at it, it's the art of managing your maintenance reliability resources versus the work that needs to be done. And I use that word art loosely, of course, but I think it's about getting efficiency out of your resources. It's making sure that you have a lean process and that people understand what they're supposed to do in that process.
All right. So it's a way of managing our maintenance resources,
yes.
Our skilled trades, our equipment, our spares, all those different things. To make sure we're doing the right work that we're supposed to be doing, right?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
All right. So how does work management then drive improved equipment reliability? If we're talking about managing resources, where's the link?
Yeah, I think you need a good PM program, predictive maintenance, and what all of those things that's really how you're going to make sure your equipment has a good life. And you need to find failures early. Prevention actually extends the life of equipment. I think people forget that. We focus a lot on predictive maintenance, but if you think about it, that's really just telling us we have a problem that is growing most of the time. Work management, if you identify the problem, that's the key to work management, because then you can actually schedule and plan and prepare jobs and execute jobs based on what you find. But if you don't find anything, because I've been in places where we do a really good job on planning and scheduling work management, but we don't have a good PM program. So we don't have nothing that feeds the whole resource management function.
So we need that PM program to identify defects, feed that into the work management process. So we plan, schedule it ahead of time. We take the equipment down when we want, those sorts of things.
So I believe it's important to kind of measure how well you're doing. So planning and scheduling kind of make sure you have the right PMs in place. You're doing it on at the right time. You follow up and make sure it was done in the good quality. And you try to have KPIs to measure your performance all the time. And I think it's important to give that back to the people in the process, especially the people working on the floor, like the tradespeople. What are the things that they can actually act upon? It's not that easy for them to say, well, the uptime goes up. Well, but it's easier for them to say schedule compliance is going up. They know that they have a direct impact on that.
Excellent. Very good. So what role does work management play in driving that PM compliance, schedule adherence, those sorts of things then?
Well, I think when you schedule work and prepare it, you have a way to saying, we're going to do this on time. We know who's going to do it and when they're going to do it. And of course, you can hold people accountable. And I think that's an important part of work management. You got to have performance management involved. And sometimes that sounds a little negative, but I think you motivate your people, you train your people, you support them, but you also hold them accountable to what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's the old saying, I'm probably going to mix it up, but what gets measured gets done.
Yes.
All right.
Very good.
And the work management process gives us what are we trying to achieve. It allows us to set those processes in place to measure that performance.
Yeah. And to be surprised to see how few places are very good at doing planning and preparing a work order and then schedule it and know exactly what people are going to do, you know, and actually get the work done on time. It's actually quite difficult.
Yes. Well, there's all those different things. People call in sick. You got vacations. Parts get delayed. Operations won't give you the equipment. There's all these different things that...
Yeah, I remember one kind of fun story. It's like one of the supervisors told me that, yeah, if we schedule the work and tell them that what they're going to do tomorrow or next week, they will never show up because they don't like the work we schedule.
Exactly. So what do organizations need to do differently in work management to drive that equipment reliability then?
I think what we see is that we forget that we need the leadership support. The leadership team in a plan needs to understand what work management is for and promote it. And it needs to be kind of a top 10 priority for our leadership team and saying, I'm going to follow up on this monthly. What is our schedule compliance, PM compliance? What's the size of our backlog and all those things? I think that kind of make sure that it's an important process in the reliability maintenance for any plant.
Excellent. Now, that's, you know, how organizations can shift their existing work management program. But what if they don't have one? What do they got to do then?
I think the first thing you got to do is to say, you know, what does our organization look like? And I think the first thing you got to do is say, what are the steps in the process that we want to implement? So identify your workflow. And the most important part of that is the saying, who's going to actually do each task in that workflow? And be very clear on roles and responsibilities. And we usually say that if that's not anchored in your work description or job description, then you're probably not going to follow the process as well if it's not clear to people what they're responsible for.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I was involved in turning around a few sites, and the first thing we did was map the basic business process, build a RACI for it. Who's responsible, accountable, consulted, informed. That way, people understand what they actually have to do. Because there was a lot of times where two individuals were doing the same task because they weren't sure of whose it was. And then same two individuals for other tasks, neither were doing it because it wasn't clear.
And it needs to be very clear that you have, if the responsible person in the RACI, the R there is the important part. If you know that you're going to plan a job or if you're going to schedule a job or record the information on a work order, I mean, after that, there's no discussion on what people should be doing.
Exactly. It's very simple.
Very simple.
Well, in theory.
It sounds in theory, yeah. Now we sound like engineers.
Yes. Now, what are some of the key components of a work management program?
Yeah, so when I think about that, I kind of think about the work order flow in a maintenance department. And, you know, somebody's going to identify a deviation or a problem or a failure. They have to write a work request. Somebody needs to prioritize and screen those work requests to make sure it's a real business requirement. Then you're going to plan, and we usually define that as what are you going to do and how are you going to do it. You have your steps, your parts, tools, other things, safety information. Is production part of the, if it's a shutdown job? Then you're going to schedule, and then when are you going to do it? Who's going to do it? Then you do your or execute the job. And hopefully you will record what you have done, which is also a kind of a weak point in many places. And then we, I like three questions to be answered. It's like, what did you find? What did you do to fix it? And can we prevent it in the future? And that will build a good history by equipment if you do that. And of course, use that history to make improvements. Find your bad actors and make changes to the equipment or procedures.
Yeah, I remember when I was first rolling out a planning function or work management function at the time, and the typical work order looked like machine broke, and the feedback was fixed it.
Okay.
Very, very difficult to change the perceptions after that's the way it's been done for 20 years.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we did during that same time, and I'd like to get your opinion on it, is having operators being able to write work requests. Is that good, bad? What's your experience with it?
I think everybody that works in the process or facility should be able to write a work request to request work. And I think because every time you filter that through somebody, you're not going to get all the information that you need. And if you're clear on what, when you're supposed to write it and how you write it, and you know, who's have access to the system, there shouldn't be a big problem. And I also experienced that in my previous job, that that's what we did. And that was the, I think, the ideal way of dealing with it. I know that in many places, only the supervisor is doing the work request, or, you know, only somebody sits there. And I think that's a way to, you miss a lot of information when you do that.
Yeah, I agree. I always think of owning a car.
Yeah.
It's not your mechanic writing a work request
no.
to bring your car in to get it done. They may call and remind you for scheduled maintenance from time to time.
Yeah.
But they're not writing a work request because it's making a noise or it's rattling or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
Right? That's up to the operator, the owner, to take care of that.
We like to see that it gets to a point where the operator is the first line of maintenance. Maybe they do up to 50% of all the inspections. And they need to be trained, of course. But that's the ownership of the equipment that we're looking for.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother paradigm shift that has to take place in a lot of organizations, going from a maintenance ownership to an operator or shared ownership of the equipment.
Yeah.
Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful in work management?
I come back to the, if management decide that this is an important process and going to support it, I think that's the most important thing. And I part of that is also, we talked about earlier, we're engineers and we tend to like write procedures and come up and, you know, documents and numbers. But the leadership part of this is the most important, because when you get people to follow the process, that's the hard part. And we usually say that 10% of the problem is to write up the workflow and the responsibilities and train everybody on it. 90% of the problem is to get everybody to follow it.
The accountability piece, the discipline to follow that procedure, right? At all levels of the organization, you may have leadership saying you have to follow this procedure, so on and so forth. But then the moment leadership avoids that process to get a pet project done,
yeah,
that sets a completely different tone, and you lose a lot of support and buy-in in it when that happens.
Yeah, and when you violate your business priorities and people are doing what we call emotional priorities, and that's usually kind of, then the trust in the system kind of goes down.
Yes.
And that's why it's also important to define your priorities and make sure you have a kind of a good gatekeeping of all the work requests coming in and saying, this is a valid work request and we're going to do it according to our business priorities.
Yep. Excellent. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from this conversation today?
I think most people in maintenance, it's not rocket science. We all know we need to plan and schedule or identify problems. I think we underestimate the difficulty to make people follow this. And then you got to start with yourself and say, you know, if I follow it, then probably other people are going to start following it. And the leadership part, the soft part, you know, how do we motivate people and in a positive way to and reward them for following the process. How many times do we not reward people that, oh, I fixed this problem in 16 minutes and, you know, you're the hero. And when you're really supposed to ask the question, you know, why didn't we prevent this from happening to start with?
Yep. Changing that whole culture from the firefighting to the preventative or proactive approach is absolutely. Now, where can people find out more about you, IDCON, and so on and so forth.
Well, we do have our website, idcon.com. You can find more about what we do and our consultants. On Thursday, we have a presentation about the role of a reliability engineer by our founder, Christer Riedhammer. And I'm making a presentation Thursday afternoon. Hopefully, you haven't left yet. But about planning and scheduling, and actually talking about how do you get that precision maintenance done by managing that with planning and scheduling. So I'm going to talk about work management on Thursday.
That sounds like an interesting one. I'm going to see if I can get in there for that.
Yeah. So I look forward to it. So.
Now, before you go, do you have any resources you want to share with our listeners? Now, this can be a favorite book, some links to that you or a resource you have available on your website, whatever. What can help people with this topic today?
So I think there's a lot of good books and information. There's a lot of good people to talk to here in the SMRP. But I started to read a leadership book here that I just picked up. It's called Dare to Lead. And I haven't finished it yet. And this is written by a woman. Her name is Brené Brown. But I think when I get into the book, I start to see that the leadership part is kind of pushing the boundaries and taking some risk. So when you go into an organization, you got to start making changes. The only way you can do that is to take some risk and try some things. And sometimes it might backfire on you, but you have to take that risk if you get anything to change within the organization. So I think that's a good book to read that I would recommend.
Excellent. Perfect. We'll make sure to include a link to that in the show notes, as well as a link to Icon's website and any other resources you guys have there so people can quickly find it. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about work management and how it drives equipment reliability. It's always great to learn something from another consultant practitioner, so I truly appreciate the time today.
Thank you very much.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.